faith at this time period, I mean, they had gods. Everyone, there was really no atheists back in this time. Everyone had some sort of god. And so they would go to this temple, and there would be, you know, snakes. And what they would do is their act of worship, if you worship, it was the temple of Asclepius, which was the name of the snake god or whatever, you'd actually feed these live snakes as an act of worship. So it's really bizarre. And actually, there was so much kind of belief in Pergamum. The story was is that actually if you would go to this temple and you would sleep on the floor with these, I mean, not venomous snakes, but just non-venomous snakes. And the story was that if you would go there, if you believed in it, that if a snake would crawl over you while you slept in the temple, that you'd be healed. And it sounds like for us, it's like, what in the world are you thinking? You know, how could that possibly... But for them, this was their god. You know, it's no different for us. Like, we know about the sun now, and, you know, how there was back in Egypt, they'd worship the sun, you know. But for them, it was really real. And so he's like, I know where you live. I know that it is not easy for you to worship, to stay focused sometimes. And I know it's the same, similar with us. I know that there are so many influences with us. You know, you go into school, you come back from school, you get on online. There's all different kind of voices, like kind of trying to pull us away. But he's like, I'm aware of this, all right? But he says, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city. So, but yet, even amongst these influences and these different gods out there, he's like, here's what you're doing well. You are still remaining faithful to me. And even, they say one of the things that not only was there's these other temples, other gods that you could worship, but one of the other things that was pressure from the culture was to worship the emperor. Okay, there was Domitian was one of the emperors. And so we don't know too much about Antipas, but we do know that this church, at some point, there was some serious stuff going on, because one of them, Antipas, who was obviously a Christian, was killed for being a Christian. Was saying like, look, if you don't, I don't know, it's not real specific. Maybe if you don't worship this emperor, if you don't bow down to this emperor, we're gonna take you. You know, you're done. And the church was like, God says, Jesus says, hey, you guys are doing a great job, because it doesn't matter what's happening. I know that what happened to Antipas, and I know that even though there was pressure, you guys said, no, we'll go to the wall for you, Jesus. If it means death, then that's what we'll do. We won't waver in our faith at all. So there's some things here that's like, that we want to be. Like, this is, in some ways, this is a good church. We want to be like this church. We want to be faithful. We want to go to the wall for Jesus, even if there comes a certain time in our history when we experience real, real persecution. But, he says, there are some things that I have a problem with you. There are some things that I need to address to you. So in verses 14 and 15, nevertheless, I have a few things against you, Pergamum, Church of Pergamum. You have people there who are holding to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who are holding to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. So, like, while I appreciate you, Church, while I appreciate you standing firm, even when there's persecution, I've got a few things. One, you have people in the church who are following Balaam, the teachings of Balaam. Two, you've got some followers of the Nicolaitans within amongst you. Okay? And you seem to be like just letting it go. You're okay with it. And so here's what he's talking about. There's a story, maybe you've read this, it's in Numbers actually. I know I talk, so you're like, I get to Numbers and I skip the whole book of Numbers. I just can't stand the book of Numbers like that. I've heard many of you say that. But there are some interesting stories, and one of them is about the story of Balaam. And so this is what he's referring to. So what happened was Balaam was a prophet of Israel. And at the time, Israel was, or Moab, the country, the nation of Moab, and the Midianites were fighting against Israel. And so what happened was they sent some Moab king sent some messengers to Balaam and said, "Hey, look, I know that you're a prophet of Israel. I know that what happens is when you bless people, things work out well and there's these blessings. And when you curse people, things don't go well for nations around you. You've got some connection with God, since you know you're a messenger of God. So we want you, Balaam, to curse Israel, because we're in a war with them. Even though we know that you're a Jew and you're part of Israel, but we're coming to you because we're at war with them, and we want you to curse them." And Balaam, he's not so solid, as we learn later. Like he says, "No, you know, I'm not gonna." He kind of hems and haws with this king, and he basically says, "No, I'm not gonna curse Israel." But he does. We find out in Numbers 31 that he does end up talking with the king, Balak, of Moab, and he says, "You know what though? Like, I won't curse Israel. I can't. Like, I don't have that message from God. But if you want to undermine, if you want to overthrow Israel, I can tell you like how to do it, basically." And he basically tells them, "Go ahead and tempt them with women," is what he says. He basically says, "Look, if you want to overthrow Israel, I want you just go ahead and tempt them with women from Moab. And these women came in, and what happened was these young people from Israel kind of began to connect up with those Moabite women and got into a relationship with them. And what had happened was that basically the Moabites didn't need to conquer them with war. But what happened was that God began to turn away, people began to turn away from God because they connected in relationships with these Moabite women, and the Moabite women were worshiping other gods, and they began to intermarry with them, and they began to just cohabitate with them, and pretty soon the nation of Israel was slowly moving away or falling apart from the relationship with God. And so about 20,000 of them were influenced away from God. And so when John is telling them, look, or Jesus is telling them, look, you have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam. What are you saying is that, look, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites? He's saying, this is what is happening in Pergamum. What is happening is you are getting connected with the culture so much. You are maybe, we talked about this in OCCYG a little while ago, of connecting with unbelievers, not in a such a way where you're like, I'm just friends with them, but connecting with unbelievers in such a way that you're so close to them. Maybe you date them, maybe you marry them, that your heart begins to be pulled away from God. And he says, this is what is happening, is that you are mixing with people who don't value me, who don't love me. And this is my problem with you, all right? Because your hearts are being pulled away, and I don't want your hearts to be pulled away from me. And he also talks about, likewise, you have also hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. And so, again, we talked about this a few weeks ago with Ephesus, is that the Nicolaitans, there was a guy who was a deacon, Nicholas, and he kind of was a deacon of the original church in Acts, the small church. And something happened along the way where he kind of pulled out and began to pull people away and kind of start their own kind of sect of Christianity. And it was almost like this sect or this type of, if you're following Nicolaitan, they were more open to different sins. You know, they were like, hey, that's not so bad after all. I mean, you know, we've got freedom in that, or we can kind of follow that. And so I guess you could kind of look at it as a kind of extremely liberal Christianity. And so what was happening was, in Pergamum was, is that there were, like I said, there was temples all around, and what there was feasts. They were holding feasts, like pagan feasts, where like, hey, dude, like, why don't you come on over? We're having this feast, and, you know, we're going to be, they sacrifice this food to idols, and then the people were like, okay, well, we'll go to dinner with you guys. We'll hang out with you guys and have this party with you. And I can see this more than the worshiping the snakes, because, you know, some people be like, well, hey, I'm just going out to dinner with these folks, you know? They invited me to this feast. I mean, they're not Christians, but I'm just going to spend time with them, hang out with them. I'm not, like, worshiping snakes. I'm not going to the temple, you know, where they worship snakes. I'm just going out to dinner with them. But what would happen is they would go to dinner, and where he was talking about eating food that had been sacrificed to idols, they didn't really care. They were like, hey, we've sacrificed this food to this idols, but come and party with us. And so they would kind of party, you know, and when you're partying, you're eating, you know, you're dancing, and you start hooking up with people, and slowly they began to kind of be, they were taking on two different lives. It wasn't like the Church of Ephesus. The Church of Ephesus was like, hey, you've lost your first love. It wasn't that he didn't say to them, you've lost your first love. He just said, look, you're kind of following two different teachings. And so sometimes we do the same thing. What we do is we kind of take, we've got Christianity. We come on Sundays and we learn about, you know, what God desires for us, what He values. And then we kind of go off into Monday through Friday. And then we're like, we don't really question what is happening in our own culture, all right? And we're like, hey, that's not so bad. Everyone else is doing it. It's kind of like saying to them, you know, like, I'd be like telling them, like, or be kind of like saying, like, I'll never go to movies from now on, you know, because, like, everyone does that. And so, like, in Pergamum, like, going to these feasts or these dinners, like, it is so surrounded, they're so surrounded by it, they're like, everyone else does it, so why can't I do it? And so we don't discern what is happening in our culture. Here's just a small example, okay? And I don't know, this might drive close to home for some of you. But let's see. What's the first commandment? Does anyone know what the first commandment is? Number one. Anyone? First commandment? Exodus? That's good. Exodus? Anyone know what the first commandment is? What's that? Thou shalt what? No, that's not the right one. Anyone know? No, actually, it talks mainly, the first few are just talking about you and God. Yeah, you shall know the gods before me. There's also one. What's the third one down? Is this: you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Okay, you know, she's like, hey, don't like, my name is connected with me, right? My name is connected with you. Say my name, and you're talking to me, right? And I know, like for example, I just wanted to give you an example of just how, like, we kind of have this here. We've got our Bible. We've got Sundays, and then we got, like, our lives. Is it? I know, like, in our culture, especially, I guess it's not just high school, it's like everywhere, where it's like to take the Lord's name in vain is really common, isn't it? Like, you hear it almost everywhere, and it's transformed into what, three letters? Right. It's transferred into OMG, right? Like, it's just, that's the short version of that. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like, for us as Christians, because of who we are, you know, because of who we identify with, who we're connected with, who we represent, that's one of those things that I feel like, you know, even though it's so common, like when we're talking or texting or on Facebook, I feel like that's one of the areas where we should go, like, no. Like, no, that's not me. I know how much you value that, God. I know how much your name means to you. And so I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm not going to join in on that. There's the teaching of that, you know, I know that we're not tempted to follow the teaching of Nicolaitans, or most of us aren't tempted to follow the teaching of, oh, maybe I'll mix a little bit of Buddhism in with my Christianity, or a little bit of Hinduism with my Christianity. We're not tempted in that way. But what we are tempted in is the teachings that culture has around us. That we just like, hey, this is normal. Everyone does this, so why not? All right? But Jesus says, like, no, like, don't split your life up. Don't, like, listen to things here and then me, and then, like, kind of blend it together. You can't do that. I know if I were to ask some, the story that I talked about in the beginning, you know, about, like, that the student who had a picture of a hookah, you know, I bet you asked her, had you loved Jesus? She might even say, like, I have a heart for Jesus. Or again, if you ask the ladies who were working at the school, like, who were gossip a lot, and said, like, hey, do you guys love the Lord? You know, they probably say, yeah, sure. But there's, like, there was this disconnect. There was, like, two things going on. They were following, like, but they were like, hey, everyone gossips in our office. Everyone gossips in our school. Everyone gossips in our, you know, I'm a teacher. Like, in the lounge, that's what you do. You know, if you don't gossip, what do you talk about? Like, I have nothing to say anymore, you know? But Jesus says, like, no, don't tolerate that in your church, right? He's like, there are people in your church who are, like, leaning in this direction, and, like, you're allowing it. Where the church of Ephesus was, like, not allowing any teachings from any other source, but lacked love. This church may have had love, but they were just, like, saying, okay, it's okay. You know, if this is what the culture says, if this is what the other teachings are, we're fine with it. So this is what he says, verse 16. And I guess I want to challenge you guys, all right? I want to challenge you just in that small area, even if it's, like, you know, on Facebook, to go, hey, I mean, that's culturally accepted, but I'm not, because I love you. I love you, and I'm not going to do it. This is what he says, verse 16. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. So you guys know, we have talked about repent a bazillion times. You know what it means just to do a 180. You're going in this direction, you're, like, hanging out with these folks, parting with them. I want you to just turn around and go the opposite direction. Otherwise, he says, and this is kind of a real but just kind of scary, I will come to you and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. I'm going to come into your church. And he says, like, look, it's not that I'm going to, there seems to be more of a judgment on those within the church of, like, hey, I'm going to come and I'm going to, I don't know, discipline. I'm going to take those folks out who are not following me. But I'm disappointed in the whole church, because there's people in the church that are allowing this to happen. All right? So it's just a very real statement by Jesus of what will happen. And so here it is for us. I think it's the same for us, is that you may see, and sometimes I actually see this, I see some of this, which I really like, in our church. There's some of this going on, and usually not as face-to-face. It's usually not like, I'm going to confront you. I see something in your life that I don't feel really connects with what God is telling us. And I see it sometimes where some of you actually will go, you know, maybe on Facebook or online or something like that, will say, hey, maybe you should think about this. You know, maybe you shouldn't be doing this or think about this. I've actually seen some of it, like, you guys doing that. But I know, like, it's also scary. I know there's also sometimes when you're like, I know that this brother, this sister is really mixed into something, that is living a lifestyle or is holding on to something that they shouldn't be doing. And I know, like, our kind of our culture right now is like, hey, if you confront someone, they're like, hey, don't judge me. Like, don't you dare judge me. Like, what about you? You know? So there's this kind of trend in our culture to, like, not, like, don't judge, don't approach anyone. But this is the most, I don't know, I think not approaching someone. Not approaching someone. And this is also goes against our culture of being Asian and being Chinese. You know, like, we just, we're like, sense, I've got a problem against so-and-so. Could you talk to this person? You know, like, we don't really want to directly head into it. Because, and I'll tell you right now, I hate confrontation. You know, it just, my skivvies get all tight and I get my heart races and I do not like to talk with people. I know there's a problem, you know. I know there's a problem, and I know that the loving thing to do would be to say, I love this brother or sister, would be to say, I see something that is not, you know, that doesn't identify you with Christ. That's not like who you are. So I've got to, out of love, I've got to tell you. And I know, like, I mean, for some of us, the temptation is the, you know, most loving, maybe I'll just let it go and maybe it'll just kind of like God will work it out. But wouldn't you rather have, I mean, when you hear this, when Jesus says, look, I'm going to fight against them with the sword of my mouth, I would rather have a brother who, or brother or sister who loves me, come and say to me, like, Brady, there's one area in your life that I need to talk to you about. And I know that you know that I love you. You know that I care for you. I'd rather have that brother or sister tell me than Jesus coming to fight against them. Jesus coming and, like, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what the sword, bringing the sword, you know, against the church would look like. I've heard some churches before. I've heard a pastor share a story about where he was preaching to a church and there was a group of people. This was who he would preach, and they were like, I don't know why they were in a church, but they were, like, harsh against God's word. They were harsh against him. This was in a small town church. And he said, over the course of a few years, there were things going on in the church where those people were removed. And it wasn't like he arranged it. He didn't call up the mob and say, like, hey, could you take this parishioner out? Because they're causing me problems, you know. Could you, like, just take them out? Or he didn't hire any hitmen, but through the course of a couple of years, there were people that fell out of the church. And I mean, some died. I mean, it was either car accident, weird things, heart attack. But I'd rather have Eric, I'd rather have someone, Josh, you know, say, hey, there's just something I want to talk to you about because I care for you, than this. And I guess for you guys, maybe it's not that you need to talk with someone. Maybe you're on the other side where you actually are aware of that, like, that there is, like, similar to the people in Pergamum, that, you know that you come to youth group, you come to church, you have that thing going on, but there is something in your life that is, you know, an addiction that is, who knows what it is? Only God, I guess God and you know what it is, that you know that you're, like, you need to, you yourself need to go, I need some help in getting out of this, or I need to turn around. I'm stuck, or I feel like still captive by my sin, and I've got to get out because I'm living two lives. I'm going to church. You know, Randy Speck, the superintendent over at OCS, he shared this as well. He's like, hey, he shared this with us. He's like, I when I was in high school, he said, I had two different lives going on. I was like a leader in my church, but I also, man, if you knew me, if you knew what was going on behind the scenes, he's like, I could put up the perfect front. I could act the role perfectly. So maybe that's you, where you're like, you need to turn. But he does say this. I'll end with the last few verses. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a name written on it, known only to him who receives. All right, so, again, like sometimes in scripture, They're just like, what? I have no clue what the heck. What is manna? What is the white stone about? So, at least if you break it down, you know, those who hear, who have an ear to hear, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. It's like, basically, if you're able to understand what God is saying to the Church of Pergamum, if this is you, if you identify with this, like, hey, I am one of those who am living a life that's kind of double and I need to turn around, then do it. Like, listen. Take it to heart and take action. We know that repentance is not just feeling bad about it, but it is actually going, yeah, I'm gonna change now. I'm gonna make steps of actually turning things around. But because he does say that those who do take those steps, those who overcome, I will give some hidden manna. And what this is, you guys, where does manna come from? You guys remember? What's that? The manna didn't fall out of the sky. There was like birds that fell out of the sky, right? But there was like the manna that was like, it's like crusty crackers on the ground, right? And it's in Exodus. And so like there's this food, and there's kind of different possibilities of what this could be, but some of what it's talking about, this hidden manna, is like this, there's this kind of this connection with this feast that we'll kind of look at in Revelation. This this feast at the very end that all Christians, you know, all believers who God has helped overcome will participate in this massive feast. You know, and I know that like every Sunday we have like you know, we go out into the gym and we eat, but this is gonna be like a massive, like, formal, I don't know, I just picture like these long tables with food, where we're like, all Christians are coming together and being together and eating with Christ. And part of that kind of that feast of the hidden manna, that food connection, comes from where he says, I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it. And so what a white stone was then was, if you had like white, they used stones to get into events, you know. So, you know, you have a stone to get into, I don't know, some sporting event or some, I don't know what was going on, but like you had, they had stones to get into, to get entrance into it. Or if an athlete won and they were invited to the victor's, kind of a victory feast, the athlete would receive this stone that would only allow him or her, him most likely, yeah, to get into this feast. And so he's like, if you overcome, you will participate in this just amazing feast that we'll all have in the end. And you will have this invitation, and the stone will have a new name written on it. And kind of what I've read and what I've heard, like this having your name written on the stone is like, it's kind of like Jesus saying to you, like, there are certain things that as you kind of go in to this feast, that only you and him will know about your relationship with him. You know, like if you have the stone and someone else were to look at the name, this new name of that you've been given, it wouldn't make much sense to them. But to you, it'll be like, hey, this is my stone. This is the name that I've been given by Jesus Christ. And only I have certain things that I know about my relationship with Jesus Christ that none of you guys know. And there's certain things that Grace has experienced with God that none of us know, you know, and it'll be kind of like that. It'll be like, hey, it's between you and I'm entering into this feast to like, because we've overcome. And so I guess I just want to leave you with this invitation or this challenge, is that I guess when it comes to loving each other, and this is where our whole church, I'm not talking about just youth group, I feel like our whole church just needs to grow. And it also is like how you present, like, say if you see a brother or sister that needs help, you know, that you care for enough, it is also how you approach them, right? There's ways that you're like, you come across as like, you know, I'm judging you. I'm telling you because I don't like you, and because I want to be higher than you. And there's other ways of telling someone where they feel, they know that, they may not feel, but hopefully they know that you care for them. And there's brothers and sisters around, you know, in our church. Like, maybe there's something that God is calling on you to say, like, I at least just want to approach you and just say, hey, I care for you, and I just want to share a few things with you. It takes a lot of courage, but God calls us to do this. Or again, a challenge to you is that if you're in this place right now where you are kind of have that double life, you're taking teachings from the world and teachings from Christ, and you're kind of like putting them all together in your life, that turn around and like just let that stuff go. Let it go. Repent. So let me close this in prayer, and then we can just worship some more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message that you gave to Pergamum. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be discerners of our own culture, because we don't really, Father, we confess that we don't really take the time to see sometimes what trends, what things are popular in our culture that may actually be going against your word and against what you have for us. So I pray that you help us to be discerners. Lord, we know that we have freedom in you, that we have freedom to enjoy life, freedom to, you know, freedom in Christ so that we can explore and do new things. But we don't want to use that freedom that you've given to us to sin against you. And so I pray that you help us to discern when is it that we are just practicing our freedom that we have in you, and when it is that there's just things that you just don't want us to participate in because it goes against your word and it goes against you. Father, I also pray that you'd help our church, our whole church, you know, to grow in the area of confronting each other, but in love and in care. And you know, Josh mentioned that we're this church family, so that we would love each other as a family, and enough so that we would correct each other and judge each other in a way that's helpful, and that will build up and that will turn people towards yourself. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.